Chapter 67. Lyria. Numb. Ulysses is dead. I sit watching the snow fall and feel nothing. I see but don't feel myself moving as I take Ulysses down and wrap him in my coat. It is not easy or clean. I try to dig a grave with my hands, but the earth is frozen. I don't realise it is too hard to dig through until I notice my fingers bleeding. When I look back at the lifeless infant in my jacket, I break down. I don't know what to do with him. I can't bury him here in the dirt as if he's part of this world. He didn't even get to spend a day in it. I won't leave him here to be eaten by scavengers. Scavengers have done enough to him already. All I can do is take him with me. I shake as I walk. I'll die if I don't put my jacket on. But I can't let him be cold. His newborn flesh is so thin, so very thin. I walk. I'm not sure where or why, but I find myself back at the edge of the village, looking down at it. There's a commotion outside the base. Half a dozen new ships sit there, including the one with the Ambrosia advert. More than 50 men with guns mill about. How many helped kill my family? How many of them raped my sister before they cut her throat to the bone? How many nailed this baby to the tree after smashing its skull? They're surrounding something, kicking it. I feel my legs carrying me down the hill, my hand on the cold grip of the pistol. 3 shots left. 3 left for Harmony. At the edge of the town, as I'm waylaid by a thicket of dead brush, I see the crowd part and Harmony giving orders to her men. She looks the same as she did 2 weeks before, the same as when she killed my brother, except now she's wearing a winter coat and carrying Victra's bloody razor. Her men follow her orders and drag what they were kicking onto their ships. It's Victra and Volga. I break into a jog. I reach the burned-out house where we thought to find shelter. Go past it, through narrow lanes leading between several other houses. I'm still 100 metres off by the time the ship lifts off. Some red-hand men on the ground cheering them. The ships head north, and I stand there with my jacket around Ulysses, my pistol useless in my hand.
"Girl," someone whispers. "Girl!"
A woman stares at me from a cracked door. She opens it more, and I see it was the woman who watched me run from the burning house. She motions me toward her. I'm not sure why or how, but I find myself inside her house. I pull out my gun and point it at her. She flinches away. A man on the far side of the room looks away from his HC to see me, then looks back as it shows bodies falling over a city. Brea lies on their kitchen table. Her blood has been cleaned away and she's wearing a dress, her face surrounded by winter berries. It looks as if she is asleep. She is their daughter. "Red Hand came a year ago," Brea's mother says, as I warm myself by their fire. Her name is Maeve. A young boy watches from a back room. "Moved into the mine north of town. Started using the old base for transmissions and the mine up the coast as a redoubt. It was fine at first. Our gammas had already fled. But then the obsidians came and things got bad. More hands started showing up as the obsidians chased them north. So many hanging on by the thread of their bones. They've got a field outside the mine where they've done and buried thousands. Their men started fighting, started killing each other. Guess they thought they had nothing to live for. So then we was told they'd be taking wives of our clan." She stifles a sob. "They took me baby. She was not on 13, too shy of wed age, but they took her still. Said Mora was too young yet, but..." Her lips quiver. "But they took her to the base anyway. They'll take her away." I sit in the chair feeling exhausted as Maeve tells me her tragedy. The rag I used to clean the blood from my arm languishes in a tepid bowl of water. The old soup she gave me doesn't steam anymore. I've not even lifted the spoon. Outside there's occasional gunfire or shouts. I cradle Ulysses in my arms. Mora, I ask, who is she? My youngest daughter. Not yet 12. She sobs. And you just let them take her, I say, watching Ulysses' dead face. After you knew what they did to Brea. What were we to do? The woman says. They'd kill us. There's hundreds up there in that mine. That man Cormac, he's a beast. Killed a boy who tried to... She shakes her head. He's dead now. My friend made sure of that. He ain't the worst of them. There's Picker, man that chooses the wives. He chose Brea, and now... She can't even say her youngest daughter's name. And there's the woman. Harmony. The woman nods and looks at Brea. They're rounding up new girls at the base. Gonna take them to the mine to be wives after they've been inspected. Said we helped the gold. And no one has tried to stop them, I say. You just watched. She convulses, sobbing. She tries to speak, to give another excuse. But then she looks at her girl and just runs back to the bedroom, to her other children. Fear lurks over this village. Maeve's husband looks at me now. The light from the HC bathes him sickly green. The colour is the only life in his eyes. You Gamma? Why did Gamma rape your daughter? I snap. His jaw flexes. Talk about my girl again. I drag you to the hand myself. How are you going to do that from your knees? I ask. He looks back at the HC, swallowing. Your last daughter ain't there, old man. I point out the window to the squat base on Promontory. She's over there. You can stay till dark, he says quietly. Then you go. In the dim light of the fire, I watch Ulysses' cold face as I watched that of my sister and her children. I pull the jacket over his face. I'm tired of watching. Through the walls, I can hear the whispers of the orb. That night, I dig through the rubble of Cormac's house as the snow comes down. The north wall has crumbled inward from the heat and the metal roof has warped. Coughing from the soot, I pull blackened timbers off the remains of the kitchen table. There, sitting by the stone frame of the hearth, lies Fig's black orb. Wrapping my hands in my sleeves, I pull it out and crouch in the remains of the house. Despite the heat of the fire, the orb is undamaged, as I suspected it would be. There is no lock, no hinges or any gaps in the metal to show where it opens. I tap it with a naked finger. It's cool to the touch, like river stone. I hold the orb in both hands, turning it over to figure out how to open it. Maybe it doesn't open. I rap it with my knuckles. Whatever is inside was worth Fig risking her life to get. It must contain something that can help me. If it's hollow, I can't tell, but if it's not, it should be heavier. I saw Volga break rocks on it, and Victor's razor slide off without leaving much more than a scratch. Fig seemed to be able to cool it with the implants in her fingers. Maybe I need those to open it. But if I need those, why would it call to me? I lower my head to it, hoping the proximity to the parasite in my head will open it. Nothing happens except the blood in my brain thumps louder. I lower the orb in frustration and lean back. Flakes of snow flutter down from the sky and gather on my face. I suck on the opened scabs on my hands and think, what do I do? What can I do? There isn't salvation in this orb. Even if there was, Volga and Victra are already dead. I drop my hands to the orb and consider defeat. The pressure in my head releases like a popping bubble. A low hum comes from my lap, and I look down to see an emerald green light appearing underneath a faint blood smear my thumb left on the orb. I sit up and wipe the soot from my eyes. The green light ripples in the black metal, becoming a swirl of tiny, arcane mathematical symbols that coalesce into the shape of a woman atop a bull. The image is no larger than my thumb. DNA sampling complete. New protocols implemented for Enatos Figment, a soft female voice says in my head. Or was it from the orb? Sphera access granted. My heart thuds as the orb purrs and its surface begins to unscrew, till 1,000-millimeter-wide strips around its meridian are turning in alternating clockwise and counterclockwise rotations. They fold in on each other, until the orb divides in two and folds over on itself, revealing an interior the colour of baby teeth pulsing with soft light. Built into the orb are several hundred small compartments marked with obscure symbols. A central device, made from the same material as the inside of the orb, is embedded in the bottom of the orb. It is the size of my thumb. A green light glows inside it, and I sense frequencies flowing between it and the parasite in my head, the same way I found Victra in the woods. Cortical implant diagnostic complete. A long list of green characters appears in the air in front of me. I reach out to touch them, but they aren't there. I swipe at them with my hand and they scroll downward. The list goes on and on, none of it making any sense to me. Figment functionality impaired. Seek repairs at the womb upon soonest convenience. Seek repairs? To a parasitic implant in my brain? Where the hell would I do that? Geolocation function unavailable. Mobile uplink unavailable. The parasite is reading my mind. What is the implant? A gift from Astarte. Who the hell is Astarte? She was you. What does that mean? No response. What is Figment? How do I get repairs? No response except a reminder to seek repairs. Bloody hell! Was the brown woman Figment, or is Figment the parasite? Was she being controlled by it? Am I? Could I be if I got repairs? If I can get repairs, someone out there must know. Does that someone control the parasite? Would they control me? Volga seemed to think Figment was just a woman, but Victra knew better. It doesn't make any sense, and right now I don't really give a shit. Apparently, I expected the orb to contain a rocket launcher or something. I prod through the supplies. Nothing is labelled in a language I understand, and each device is as inert and bizarre as the next. There are small blue discs set in gel, a black nasal inhaler with assorted cartridges, a silver device that looks like it goes around an eye with a tiny needle injector, a credit ring with Republic markings, a credit ring with Society markings, a credit implant with peculiar winged symbols, a case of 100 pebble-sized balls in different colours, a selection of iris implants in all 14 colours, a titanium sphere, vials of clear liquid, an armoury of coloured needles, a miniature pharmacy of life-takers or life-givers, take your gamble, passport implants which sprout eerie hollows of my face when I touch them, and 100 other items I can't begin to suss out the function for, but no bloody damn gun. No magical broomstick, no teleportation device, unless it's in one of the pills. No body armour, no universal comm, no grenades, no damn manual. Not one thing I could use to somehow become a hero. What does this shit do? I beg. Help me, please. The parasite does not reply. I hit my head, trying to jar its loose circuits. Come on! Implant functionality impaired. Seek repairs at soonest convenience.
fucker.
Name-calling is a waste of neurons.
Stupid parasite. Useless treasure. That's what Figment meant when she said Volga could use it. That I didn't deserve it. Tough shit. I'm all that's here.
I rifle through the rest of the contents, determined to find something that will help me. I frown when I open a long compartment around the bottom ring of storage. I pull out a small, flexible magazine that looks like it would hold bullets or pills, but neither bullets nor pills fill the gel magazine. It is full of teeth. I start to laugh. I storm back into Maeve's home. She's lying in her daughter's bed, crying. She doesn't even bother to turn till I slam the door behind me. My eyes are bloodshot from smoke. My hair's a rat's nest. My pants are torn. I'm covered in soot and blood and carrying Figment's orb in a half-burned blanket. And I'm in no mood for the drunk bastard in front of his little HC or for the mother who hovered by the window chewing her nails like a frightened dumb goat as her daughter was raped across the street day after day. How long are those bastards going to be before they take the girls back to the mine? I ask.
Told you to get, the husband says. I point my gun at his head. Shut your copper gob. I got business with your wife.
He moves his mouth like a dumb mule and turns back to his HC, pretending to find the news programme showing Republic ships gathering to fight the Obsidians for some reason or another to be more interesting than the muzzle of my gun. His wife stares at the wall as if trying to become it.
Maeve!
She doesn't reply. She smells like she hasn't washed in years when I crouch by her.
Maeve!
She won't turn till I pull her ear. You want to see your Mora again? I ask. Do you want to see your baby girl? She looks up and nods. When do those bastards take the girls back to the mine?
In the morning, she says. Inspection don't last that long, and they don't fly when the satellites are overhead. They'll keep...
Her lips quiver like salted slugs.
They keep the wives in the base until they pass. Beyond 10 usually.
Then you got till daybreak to make me look pretty enough to drop a drill boy's jaw, I say. Can you do that? Give me a little blush, curl this nest.
She smiles. Finally, this is something she knows.
Little oil and an iron. I got one, just behind the cupboard.
Good, Maeve, good. And I'm gonna need a pair of pliers. Small as you got.